on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition, November 6th, of InvestTalk. I appreciate you being with me. Much of the investing experience is about being a good observer, everybody, processing the facts around you. We saw some big facts come out today. Processing that. You got to process that. About the economy, consumer sentiment, all those things come in. Today, we had jobs report. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to separate the facts from the noise. Bulls and bears dominate the market chatter every day. Every day they talk about ups and downs and whether you be a bullish, is there bearish. It's constant. It's hard to dial that out and don't think about it and worry about the facts. And so what are the facts? Well, today we had the jobs report, and the jobs were much bigger than expected. Now, I'm going to talk about that in more detail later on the show, but the jobs were much bigger than expected. And did you notice the reaction of the market before the market opened? It was pretty heavily down. And then when it opened, it was down, but not as bad. And you would think, well, big jobs, consumers having paychecks and spending that money, isn't that good news for income for stocks? I'm going to discuss that. Why is that? So there's a lot of ebb and flow going on. Emotions play a big part. The emotional progression begins with fear during extreme market losses, 2008, during that big recession. Everybody's just scared to death. That moves then slowly to, well, kind of trepidation while the market stabilizes. You're saying, okay, well, everybody's out that's already out and has really been beaten up, so maybe we should stick our toe in. Then a little bit of optimism. That starts to mount as the market improves and starts to mount. Then you get euphoria. Is that what we are now? Is everybody really excited about the stock market and thinking it's, you know, we're in the clear? I don't think so. But that's the cycle, the emotional cycle of the market. And it gyrates between that. Now, you can also say individual stocks do the same thing. Even during a day or a week, does the same thing. There's that cycle of fear and greed goes on there. But then when you step back in a broader sense, the cycle really starts out in a recession as far as maximum fear. So you know there's maximum fear. Well, when you get maximum euphoria, that's hard to know. That's much harder on that end. It's easier on the recession because you can see a recession. And you know if everybody's out of jobs. And you saw the market crash because of it. And everybody's depressed. So you kind of know where at least there's a starting point. Now, how deep it will go down, that no one really knows that either. But you know if we're in a recession, that it's getting close to the lows. So where are we today? Where are we? We've had years of a bear bull market. This year has kind of been pretty choppy, mostly sideways movement. Where are we? It's very difficult to know. Are we closer to euphoria? Are we closer to fear? Well, obviously, I think we're a lot closer to euphoria. But do we have it? When you put it in the context of the recession way back in 2008 and the stock market movements with them, but this is the year the market kind of put a pause. It was kind of pausing. So that's because the economy paused. Interesting. Do you have a question about the market, reading the market, or should you even try? We're ready for your call. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. Let's take this question that came in our 24-hour listener line.
Hey, Stephen, Justin, how you doing? My name is Jake. I'm calling from Chicago. I'm a podcast subscriber. I had a quick question for you guys about putting a stop on a stock to protect your profits. I've got a stock that I recently bought, and it's up pretty big already. I was thinking about putting a stop on it just to protect some of my gains, but I was wondering, what do you guys think's a good percentage to put that stop in at? 7% gain, 10% gain, 15%. I don't want to be too conservative because I want to give it some room to fluctuate if it's still going to grow some, but at the same time, I want to protect at least some of the gains. Yeah, I just wanted your thoughts on that. Thanks a lot for the show, guys. I'm a big fan, and I'll listen to you on the podcast. Thanks a lot.
And of course, everybody has a different take on that. And what a stop is, everybody, is that it's, you get stopped out, meaning you sell a stock if it goes down a certain amount. Some people use points, so if it goes down 5 points, I'm out. Some people use percentages. It's smarter to use percentages because a stock could be a $500 stock or a $10 stock. And using points is pretty difficult. But to say, and I'll say this, Investor's Business Daily has a rule 7 to 10% down from the high, you get out. I don't like that just for everybody. And the reason why I don't like that for everybody is because some stocks are much more volatile than other stocks, right? So 7 to 10% could be too much for some stocks and not enough for others. So what I need you to do is look at your stock, the one you're talking about. Find out the average volatility of that stock over a day or a week or a month, okay? And if the average volatility is, let's say, 5% over a month, then you might want to put your stop at 6% below the high. If it's, you know, it depends on how tight you want to bet. If you want to be tighter, you use a week. What's the volatility in a week? So that would be tighter. But you really kind of want to know what the average is over a longer period of time, the average up and down movement. What percentage is that ups and down movement? From the very top of the day movement to the very bottom of the day movement, and very top of a trend line to the bottom of the trend line, get an idea of how volatile that stock is and use that percentage and a little bit more, maybe add 1% or 2%, and that be your stop out. You know, if it's whatever percent that might be, that would be a way to do it. There's also you can use a break if you want to be tight. If it breaks down below the 20-day moving average, because that means if the stock keeps going up, the 20-day moving average keeps going up, so it follows it up. You can use that. That would be a tight stop. You can use a 50-day moving average. I know people use these averages, so it's really up to you. It depends on how long of term buyer or holder of that stock you are. Hope that makes question. I hope that makes sense to you. The greenback is looking pretty darn strong. The dollar, our dollar. If it gets stronger, it will have an impact on your investments. It already has, by the way. So how to buy stocks when the dollar's strong? What do you do? That's one of our main talking points today. Headaches of a strong dollar. It's a different take on it, different take, because this is going to be about what to do about it, and I'm going to talk about what causes the headaches. I mean, what are the headaches? Jobs. We got to talk about the jobs report. Came out today. I almost thought I forgot about that. We got to talk about that. Huge number, better, much better than expected, and what does that mean? And it's not all good necessarily, but a lot of it's good. We like jobs. And finally, there was a major study about cheeseburgers and candies and French fries and all that crappy food, that fast food and, you know, stuff we eat. And the study talks about none of that makes you fat. Huh? What? It says that. It says these are not the cause of obesity. Cheeseburgers, fast foods, candy, cookies, not the cause of obesity. So what the heck is the cause then? Come on. Well, they have an answer to that, and I'm going to share it with you. And it's logical, but I think that's it. What I found something much more interesting about the study, and I'll just have to share it to you later on, but there's something much more interested, and it really makes me mad because I've seen that in my own life, and I'm going to give you an example. Okay, 888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. We had a lot of economic numbers out this week, and of course it was topped off today by the jobs report. And the economic numbers were generally good, but not great, and upbeat. But you can't say really strong. And remember, the numbers that we're looking at now are October numbers, basically. So now we got to think, well, what are the November? Remember, that's the first quarter of the first month of the last quarter. So what are we going to have our year-end rally? Well, we had a pretty strong rally in October, and it came right up to the highs and paused the last 3 days there. So the question is, will we have another pullback? Odds are pretty good that we will before we break through. But that, what do you do about it? I don't know if you do anything about it. Do you vote? Did you vote on our webinar survey? Did you? Well, whoever did vote, all those people that did vote, well, you picked it. It's November 18th, our webinar, November 18th. You said you wanted more information on building a strong portfolio and finding strong dividend-paying stocks. So join us November 18th, because that's what we're going to talk about. That's 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. 1 hour. It's a free webinar. You can register now at investtalk.com.
Hey, this is John from Phoenix, Arizona. I love your show. I own Disney, and I was wondering what you think of its current chart. I'm trying to read the chart, and I don't really can't really get a good grasp on what's going on with it. So I was wondering if you could take a look at it and tell me what you think is going on with it. Thank you very much, and I appreciate your show.
Well, the chart's made a big move off of the October lows. It's kind of tracking the S&P 500, because Disney is really big, as we all know. I'm sure Walt Disney has theme parks, makes movies, TV, and ESPN, you know, on and on and on. I like Disney because it's so steady. Its growth rate is in the single digits, both in the earnings and sales, but it's consistently there. Consistent, you know, that kind of growth rate. So that bodes well for Disney. It's $115 right now. The highest it's got is about $122 or so, and that was in at the 1st of August, just before the market took a big hit. And so then it fell all the way down to about 92. So about 25%, 30%. A lot of companies had a 25-30% fall in the August time frame. But the market didn't. It only fell about 13% from its high. But a lot of big companies did. And I like it. The chart is telling you that it's going to slow down now because it's getting closer and closer to that old high. And it's going to probably slow down. But I like it because of the consistency. I like it because, you know, Star Wars is coming out, and that's a Disney product. And, you know, you remember all the toys and everything that's going to be sold from that movie. You know it's going to be very beneficial for Disney. I can't imagine it being a flop. I mean, it could be, but it's pretty hard to imagine. So I kind of like all those things. Disney doesn't pay much of a dividend, though, only 1.1%. They really should pay a higher dividend. The problem you have with Disney is it is not cheap right now. It's a 22 PE. And the five-year range is 11 to 24 PE, and it's right near the top of that range. Great return on equity, very little debt. I mean, there's a lot of good things to talk about. Disney is one you want to buy when it does fall. Pick it up. If it doesn't break above 122, if you're a long-term investor, you just ignore it. You just put it in your drawer and just hold on to Disney and be happy because of the consistency. If you're not and you're a trader, well, right now it's trying to fill a gap, what we call a gap, and it won't fill that gap until it gets to about 120. So it's a 115 now. So it's trying to fill that gap, move up, but it looks like it's slowing down. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. You're listening to Invest Talk, and we'll be right back.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Most people fail to have a good experience with their mutual fund portfolios because there are three key and very common problems. Fix your mutual fund portfolio. That's our talking point for Monday's podcast. We hope you can join us then.
888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Julian in San Jose. How are you doing, Julian?
Hi. Great. Good, thanks.
Thanks for the call.
I have a question about stock for Sunrun, R-U-N. I purchased it at IPO price. Now it's been dropping significantly. Should I hold on to it?
I would not hold on to it. It's for everybody else, Run, R-U-N, Sunrun, Inc. It's engaged in the installation, lease, and solar energy systems and to residential customers across 15 states. It's a $788 million company. And as he said, as Julian said, it came out IPO initially on August 5th, and the IPO price, I think, was $14. And it has never traded at $14 since that IPO price. Never had. It's the very first day it started to fall. And here it is now at $7.82. The reason why I wouldn't keep it, because it's never made money. It's not going to make money this year. It's going to lose $2.03 a share. Next year, it's going to lose $2.43 a share. It's got quite a bit of debt. Sales growth is strong. It's growing its sales. But as it's growing its sales, it's losing more money, not less. So management owns 41%, which means that they are really focused trying to turn this thing around. But I don't like buying, number one, IPO stocks. Number two, stocks that don't make money. So I wouldn't hold on to it because I don't think it the chart looks terrible. I don't.
Right.
Oh. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Julian.
Do you sell it now when it is like half the price or wait to go up a little bit more?
I would think that it might give you some recovery, maybe to the $9 area. You know, it looks like it could. But if it breaks the low, it made it about $7 and, I don't know, about 40 cents. If it breaks that, you just get out. Because now that it's trying to make a little bit of recovery, you might get because when you stretch a rubber band, it does bounce. So I think you might get a little bit better bounce, Julian. You might.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's go, let's talk about as to how to buy stocks when the dollar's strong. Why is the dollar strong? Because we had a big jobs report this morning, and so the dollar really took off. Why? Because everybody thinks the Fed is going to raise rates now. And remember, she, meaning Janet Yellen, was hinting strongly that's what they're going to do in December. Well, this jobs report kind of tells you that that's even a stronger hint. She probably already knew about that report before we did, be my guess. And if we have a strong dollar, why it drives down stock prices. It tends to put pressure downward on stock prices because a lot of the big companies make money, a lot of their profits, overseas. And a stronger dollar means they can sell less overseas. They're going to sell less. So how do you invest when that's happening? Well, one of the ways is stay away from mega cap companies. They have a lot of money made out of overseas. That's one thing you can do. So that's one of the ways you can avoid being influenced by your stocks, being influenced by a strong dollar. You concentrate those companies that make money here in the United States. Usually the smaller mid-cap stocks. Okay? Think about a strong dollar and how it affects other economies. Okay? What's going to happen? Money's going to flow out of those economies because they're not going to want to own those currencies. They're going to want to own our currency. We already have a pretty high-paying 10-year treasury compared to the EU, compared to other parts of the world. And if the dollar goes up and you buy the dollar with your Russian ruble or Thailand, I don't remember their money, or Malaysian, whatever money you're buying, if you're outside the country and you're buying dollars by buying U.S. treasuries, then that only helps you when the dollar gets stronger. You make more money. So money's going to come out of those countries, right? Come out of those countries. Come to our country. Therefore, you don't want to necessarily invest in their stocks, that emerging market stock market. Not when the dollar's strong. Not now. Uh-uh. Now, the other side of that argument is you really want to be an exporter, because if you make stuff cheaply in your currency, your foreign currency, and you sell to the U.S., your stuff looks a lot cheaper than anything made in the U.S. that's trying to be sold to you. That's the other side of the argument. So those are the concerns you should have when you're looking at a stock to buy. When you're in this environment, because the Fed is raising rates, making the dollar stronger. Does that make sense to everybody? If you have a question about this, you need to call me. You know, just call me if you have a question about what does a strong dollar do to this particular company or that particular strategy, you know? Because we do have a strong dollar, and I don't see how it's going to get weak for a while. It's hard for me to see it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what's on your mind? What do you want to talk about financially? Want to talk about real estate? Real estate? What's your interest rates going to do? What's the mortgage rates going to do? I don't think it's going to rise fast or anything, but if the Fed does raise rates, will that push all rates up? Remember, they only control one, and that's the overnight rate to lend to the banks. This is InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART is our number, so give me a call.
This is InvestTalk for Friday, November 6th. What's your greatest challenge as an investor? Or simply planning for your retirement? Talk about it with Steve. Get through now at 888-99-CHART. You can talk live 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific time, or you can post your question and get it answered on the next InvestTalk.
888-99-CHART. Our phone is always open for any questions you might have, whether you're a new investor or not, or have more complex questions. Okay. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, this is Robert. I'm a podcast listener from Sacramento. I had a question about Hecla Mining, HL, and my question is, I heard you express interest in this stock before on the radio show, and I'm curious as to why, because I view all my information on Scottrade, and they're a very small company, $378 million in market cap, and they're losing money. And I was curious as to maybe their relation to ABX, Barrick Gold. What would your insights be comparing the two? I was thinking about picking up a position in ABX, but I wanted to hear your thoughts on why Hecla might be a good investment if they're losing money. Thank you.
I like ABX much better than HL. I will say that ABX, or Barrick Gold Corporation, actually announced earnings a few days ago, and they really had much better earnings than expected. They make 40. They're going to make 31 cents a share this year after losing 68 cents a share last year, and they're going to make 46 cents a share next year. And both those stocks, this is a gold play. I'm not a big gold person. I'm trying to think of, well, is it cheap enough? Is gold cheap enough to pick up? And it is fairly inexpensive. So, but if it breaks GL, you can check gold. If it breaks its recent lows, and you can check that by using GLD, which is, you know, a part of the gold. It went right to the lows today. If it breaks that, you just gotta wait, because you don't. I wouldn't be really anxious. We own some gold positions, and I'm on the fence of getting out of these things, because the strong dollar impacts them greatly. And we had, you know, up until about week and a half, 2 weeks ago, they were coming nicely off their August lows and moving up, and here they are, you know, in a week or so back down sharply. So it's very volatile. And I don't know if there's enough pessimism about gold yet. I think there's a lot of pessimism about gold, but is there enough? Remember the fear and greed cycle we were talking about? Is there enough fear about gold that, oh man, gold's never going to recover? I'm getting too many people wanting to get into gold, you know, instead of ignoring it and saying, I'm never getting back into gold. So I don't know if it's bottomed yet. It's just close to a bottom. But it's a gold play. And I like ABX, Barrick Gold, a lot better than Hecla, because it does make money. And I don't like to own companies that don't make money. But it's a gold play. As gold goes up, these goes up. As gold goes down, these go down. So where do you think gold's going? That's really the issue. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Time for Invest Talk Personal, the everyday money choices we make that can have a lasting impact. Most people ignore their credit score. I do. I really don't pay much attention to it until they are ready to finance a car, house, or condo. But see, I'm not in that boat. But if you need the, you know, your credit score is important. If you're going to be financing a car, house, or condominium, you got to know what your credit score is. And there are many factors that make up what a credit score is. Of course, paying on time, any debt you have, and you know, paying on your credit cards, you know, is very, very important. Not being late for bills of any kind. But there are also other factors like the utilization ratio. That's the how much credit do you have and how much are you using. If you're always using all your credit, you're going to have a worse credit score, even if you pay on time. If you have a ratio that is lower, then your credit score goes up. In other words, you don't always use your full credit line that you could. But building credit is like saving money. It takes time. You can't just repair it instantly if it's bad, and you can't build a credit score high in a week or year, even 2 years. It takes time. So you need to think about that. And by the way, if you want to know what your credit score is, American Express does it free. You can get it free. You don't have to pay to get a credit score. There is a free website called annualcreditreport.com. All one word, annualcreditreport.com, and you get a free credit check and get your score, your FICO score. That's the FICO. That's the most popular, the biggest one that's out there. The one the banks use the most for when they want to lend you money. Remember, that's what they're for. The banks use these things to determine whether they want to lend you money and how much it's going to cost you to borrow money from them. That's InvestTalk Personal. Do you have a question about credit? Maybe you have some experience to share about credit. 888-99-CHART is our number. You can also send me a note that will come directly to me. Just click on Contact Steve at InvestTalk.com or at KPP Financial for Twitter.
InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial. If you're considering using the services of a professional investment advisor, click on the Investments tab on InvestTalk.com. There are programs designed to meet specific criteria that match up with the goals and preferences of people looking for growth, income, or more manageable risk. Find out more on InvestTalk.com.
Hey, Steve and Justin. I'm a podcast listener from New York. Could you please give your opinion on Garmin? Symbol is GRMN. It recently broke above its 50-day moving average after a huge slide down, and it has a huge dividend, and best part of all, it has no debt. So I was wondering if you guys would recommend picking it up soon. Thank you for the great show. I'll be tuning in tonight. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, Garmin, it's out of Switzerland, manufactures, markets handheld, portable, and fixed-mounted GPS systems. Now, we've talked about creative destruction before, and this fits that definition of creative destruction, in my opinion. Garmin's going to make $2.25 this year after making $3.10 last year, and they're going to make $2.30 next year. So it's making money, and they pay a 5.4% dividend. Looks all good, doesn't it? Return on equity, 17%. Looks pretty good. Cash flow is strong. They don't have any debt. Everything looks pretty good about Garmin, really. Fundamentally, it looks good. Now, let's look at the sales. Sales have been tailing off. Last quarter, they were down 4%. The quarter before that, they were down 1%. The quarter before that, they were flat. The quarter before that, they were growing 6%. And then the quarter before that, growing 10%. So that's falling. It's falling. It's a $7.8 billion company. The reason why I mentioned creative destruction, what did they do? They manufacture handheld, portable, and fixed-mounted GPS systems. What does that compete with? It competes with your cell phone. Does Garmin make cell phones? No, they make GPS systems. I'd have to look carefully. Do they license their GPS system to cell phone makers? Is that how they make their money? How are they making the money? If they're just making GPS handheld devices, that's going to disappear, that business. because you already have one called your cell phone. Everything's going toward the cell phone. The cell phone is going to be your everything, your computer, your weatherman, it's going to be your everything, GPS system, your everything. So I think that's called creative destruction. They're going to destroy the handheld GPS devices. So what is Garmin's answer to that? That's really your question. And I wouldn't buy Garmin with a 10-foot pole unless they have an answer for that. Because I think that they could just disappear. Creative destruction. Something's being created. What did they create? They created cell phones with GPS systems in it. What's being destroyed? Those companies that make GPS systems and the devices that no one's going to want. Or the need for them are going to be minuscule. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Jobs report came out today. It was 185,000 new jobs. They were expecting a lot less than that. I think it was 185. Was it 285? What was the number? Gee, now I'm down on my cell. But it was much bigger than expected. Much bigger than expected. And so I think it was 285,000. They were expecting 185. Anyways, what I was looking at was the full-time jobs versus part-time jobs. And now it looks like we finally are getting a better read on that. That because before 2007, 83% of all jobs were full-time jobs. That was in 2007. Today, 82% of them are full-time jobs. That's better because it's now getting back to that number. And that's really what we want. We want it to exceed because there's more people in the workforce since 2007. It should be higher. But as a percentage, that's looking pretty good. Because we do have, for 3 months in a row, we have higher absolute numbers of jobs exceeding 2007. We have more now for the last 3 months than we had in 2007. But the important number is the percentage of those jobs being full-time. And we're approaching the peak that we had in 2007. Now, you can also, and I know people can call up and we can talk about it. The labor participation rate is nowhere near what it was. Meaning those people in their working age group, there's still a lot of people unemployed. Still a lot of people unemployed that maybe can't find a job, maybe don't have the skills anymore, whatever reason, or they're 50 years old or 55 and they decide to retire. So I have an email, a question. Hi, I'm a longtime listener to your podcast. Thank you very much for the show. Could you talk about Southwest Energy or Glencore? Let's talk about Southwest Energy, SWN. Southwest Energy, this is in the oil field services area. SWN is the symbol. SWN. Oh, come on, Steve. SWN. Engaged in exploration and production of oil, natural gas, primarily in Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas, and Pennsylvania. Their sales have been shrinking because of oil prices have been going down. Earnings per share has shrank. They still make money. Excuse me. And it looks like they're maybe coming off a bottom, but it's way too soon. I would wait for this thing to break clearly above maybe the 50-day moving average, which it hasn't done since June. Okay, if it breaks above the 50-day moving average, then maybe you'll get a bounce. It's been falling from $26 down to $10, $11 right now, $11.91, up 87 cents this week. Okay, so that's what I mean. It's been kind of moving off the bottom that it made. But that was a new bottom a week and a half ago. So you're having lower lows and lower highs. Until we see a higher high and higher low, I don't think you should buy it. And it depends on what oil is going to do, right? Is oil going to recover more? Well, we have a strong dollar. If the dollar goes, you notice the oil, all oil got hit today. All of it. Because of the strong dollar. Oil is traded around the world in dollars. So oil got hit today. Not a good thing. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. Next week, I will be in San Jose for individual retirement accounts reviews. That's November 11th. And then San Diego County in La Jolla, one of our satellite offices, I'll be there on December 2nd. Those are first-come, first-served dates, so reserve your hour before they fill up. And if you live too far from California, our California offices, I can still handle manage your money for you. We can still meet over the phone. We can Skype, and go through all the processes. It's pretty simple. I'm registered in all 50 states, so you can reserve your time via the phone, and we'll talk about it and go over your portfolios and all the facts that I need to do, just like in person. Call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts, and we'll get it done.
We're glad you're with us on Invest Talk today. And whether you're 20-something or something just past retirement, we're here to help you make better investing and money decisions along the way. But we need to know what you need to know. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, guys. This is Gary from Massachusetts. I listen to your show on podcast just about most every day, and I really appreciate your insight into the market. I had a question about Vodafone today, VOD, what you thought of the valuation. And I actually do covered calls on this stock, and I like your thoughts on if that's a good stock to keep doing covered calls on. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Bye.
VOD, Vodafone Group. It is a $86 billion company, a big blue chip company. So you can't expect too much growth on it. Matter of fact, you're not getting hardly anything. It's a UK-based provider of digital wireless voice and data services to 446 million customers in 28 countries. Big, really big. Now, the problem is their earnings per share has been going down consistently, very consistently, for several years now. I mean, back to 2011, they made $4.84, and every year they're making less and less per share. This year, they're going to make 64 cents. Next year, finally going to go up to 78 cents a share. And it's a $32 stock. So it's expensive. I think it's expensive. Return on equity is only 2%. Sales are minus 1% for the last couple of quarters. Before that, they were growing. So they're now, they pay a nice dividend, 5.2. So a covered call strategy should work, because it's probably not going to go up. It's not going to, it may hold steady where it is or around where it is, but I still think it's expensive. So I think a covered call would be okay. Go to InvestTalk and scroll down to the headlines. Sign up for our free InvestTalk Insider.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Join Steve and Justin for our next webinar, Building a Strong Portfolio with Less Risk and Finding Strong Dividend-Paying Stocks, is the title. The date is November 18th. The time is 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. It is free, but you need to sign up now on investtalk.com.
Okay, there's been a major study. Cheeseburgers, french fries, candy bars, cookies, these are not what makes you obese. Isn't you glad to know that? So go and eat them all. Actually, that's not what the study actually said, but it does say that these things are not what make you obese. What makes you obese? It's all about calories in and calories out. If you sit on the couch and don't do anything, and all you do is eat cheeseburgers and french fries and cookies all day long, you're going to be obese. But if you eat cheeseburgers and french fries and cookies and then go run 100 miles, guess what? Doesn't matter. Now, it might not be healthy food, but the study is very interesting. The thing that I found most fascinating about this study is that skinny people eat more junk food than average weight people. Skinny people eat more junk food than average weight people, and average weight people eat more junk food than obese people. Now, isn't that interesting? So specific food that you're eating is not the problem. It's the calories you're consuming and you're not burning. Isn't that interesting? I knew that skinny people eat more junk food than I do because I have a lot of skinny people, friends and family, and they eat like pigs, mine do, and they don't put on a pound. I'm thinking, I'm eating half the calories that you eat, and I can't get skinny like that. So I think a lot of it has to do with your DNA, your metabolism, your gene pool that you're in. I think there's a lot to do that. Then it goes to, well, are you active or inactive? Are you burning more calories than you're eating? Yes or no? Let's go to Bill in Santa Cruz. How you doing, Bill?
I'm fine, Steve. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for the call.
So actually, I have two stocks, and they're going to the hip, Energy Transfer Partners, the Energy ET, which is Energy Transfer Equity, mm-hmm. which is the parent company. And I wonder if you can, I read a little bit about them. I'm looking at the dividend, and they're down. It seems like they only ever go down to Energy Transfer around this level. And I just wonder if you would consider that a secure dividend, more or less, I mean, relatively speaking.
Okay, when you're looking at ETP, Energy Transfer Partners, that is a MLP, a master limited partnership engaged in gathering, treatment, processing, transportation, storage, and marketing of natural gas in the United States. So it is storing it, it is moving it. So those are kind of nice, these MLPs, because they pay pretty high dividends. And this one is paying 10% right now. At least that's what they're paying. But you got to really consider it's a $42 stock. They're paying a 10% dividend, meaning they're going to pay $4.20 if they're going to pay it next year on that price of the stock. If they're going to pay $4.20, don't you think they need to at least make that much money? And they don't. They only make $1.28. So how are they going to keep paying that? How? Well, they could borrow money, and they have a lot of debt. That's one way they can pay it. They borrow money and give it to you. That doesn't make a lot of sense long term. Sales have been going down. They were down 56% in the most recent quarter. The quarter before that, down 18%. The quarter before that, down 21%. And why is that? It's not because they're not doing more business. They actually are. It's because natural gas prices are really, really low. And that's the problem. If the natural gas prices recover, they probably make more money. So, Bill, I would not say that dividend is very safe. I don't see it as very safe as a dividend play. Okay?
What about the parent company, ETE? It has
a lower
dividend.
H, what was it?
No, ETE.
ETE. Okay, and of course, that is Energy Transfer Equity. They are owning 100% general partner interest in Energy Transfer Partners. So you've got the exact same problem. Exact same problem. Okay, they even have higher debt. So, Bill, I wouldn't consider it. I wouldn't at this point. Our hour's up, everybody. I thank you for investing the hour with me. A reminder of my new checkup dates in San Jose on November 11th. You can reserve your hour by going to investtalk.com. It's pretty full, and I'll try to squeeze you in. But you need to go to schedule a meeting on investtalk.com. Click on that. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.